I got it.
Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I'm Ms. Shannon, joined as usual by my dear friend, co-host and podcasting husband, Jaden Satia.
What up, what up?
Hello, Mr. Executive Director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. It's so loud. So if you wonder where we're at, let's pull that down a little bit, because normally we are podcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios, yes. But right now we are live on location. We took a great, great adventure to the city of Los Angeles,
courtesy of Jaden.
Yes, so we are hanging out here and we are having a great event, Jaden. So tell everybody what we're doing.
Yeah, so we're celebrating a 10-year anniversary, and a lot of our filmmakers and content creators over the last 10 years have asked us to throw parties and whatnot. And of course, we throw a big giant party at the Twin Cities Film Fest every single year, where a lot of the new content creators come and showcase their work. We have parties for them. But all of our past content creators, majority of them live out on the West Coast, and they've asked us years and years. We've been doing a party here for the last 7 years. And when this year came around to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, we have a Venice beach house here that we're just like, well, we're going to stay here anyways. And I have a lot of meetings here. And so people are like, this is baller. Do you own this? I'm like, no, I run a nonprofit. I don't own anything. I can fake it till I make it. But that said, we have a party here. We had a brunch this morning, and then we're having a happy hour right now. So,
and you had the opportunity to make some great announcements. So, of course, we needed to do Be Our Geek from this location. And one of the things that has been so difficult about this particular episode, Jaden, is that you've had such a great turnout at this event that it was so difficult to weed through all of the amazing talent in this room and go, who do we want to get on the podcast? So yeah, we're going to have actually kind of like a red carpet review of some amazing talent that's at the event.
Yeah, and again, it's almost like and I grew up in Mississippi, and I think majority of our consumers, audience members know that. It's like a jambalaya. We're going to have a jambalaya of guests here, and I think the right jambalaya is a mixture of right taste and the right amount of spices and variety. So
I like it. I like
Yeah, and I think we have, again, this is so loud here. It's like 30, 40 people right behind me. That said, we do have our first guest just sitting right next to me.
Yes, yes. So so Winnie is with us. So let's let Winnie come up to the microphone. Hello, Winnie.
Hi, everyone.
So let's introduce yourself, because I don't want to mess up your name, because you have an alias and then you have your government name.
Yes.
So which one do you want to use?
So my name is Winnie Holmes, but most people in the business know me as Winnie.
What will we see when we see your name in the credits of the very many projects that you have working on, Winnie?
Well, you'll see my full name, which is Winnie Carlota Holmes.
Ah, okay.
So that's what I will go by when I'm directing. But Winnie is, you'll see if I'm doing something outside of directing.
Ah, so I do eventually want to talk about the projects that you are working on that are your passion projects, but you did have your first directorial opportunity, right? Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I got my first opportunity to direct on a new Netflix series called Family Reunion, starring Loretta Devine, Tia Mowry, and Richard Roundtree. It drops on Netflix July the 10th.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yes. What a great cast.
Yes, awesome cast, great ensemble cast. Anthony Alabi is another.
Comedy?
Yes, it's comedy.
Multi-camera comedy. Yeah.
Yes, four cameras. We shot it here in Los Angeles at Paramount. And it was my first time. I've been in the business for a long time working as a script supervisor.
So tell me again, what was your job that you normally had been doing immediately before this directorial debut?
Well, before this, I was working on the set as a camera coordinator.
Yes.
And that particular position is one where you assist the director, making sure that the shots are there for the cameras and just that right-hand person for the director.
So you are key to making sure that everything really comes out the way that it is intended.
Yes.
And that we have that amazing product at the end.
Yes. For most of the time, the directors have to do their own work, but I'm the backup. So,
gotcha.
Yes,
okay.
I'm the other eye, set of eyes.
And so what you would, since you were integral to so many projects before, what was the main differentiating factor when you're like, now I am actually stepping into the director's chair myself?
The main thing was knowing that I was the person making the decision. Mm-hmm. and everyone looking at me, and I realized, oh, it's me. At one point, it was me.
Assuming that's a little empowering, too. I mean, it's that first shock of like, oh, I'm the decision maker, but at that point, you take a hold of it. Did you kind of own it at that point and just kind of, do you think that decision making got easier for you or harder because everybody was relying upon you for this decision?
Well, for me, I think I got more. I was very prepared for it. I didn't get caught up in the role of the title of director. I didn't focus so much on power. It's more of coming to the show, being prepared, knowing what I wanted, and just collaborating with my coworkers. I've been in the business for a very long time on various projects, and I think the respect that I got from everyone who knew me otherwise helped a lot as well.
Well, congratulations
thank
on
you.
That. I hope you have, it is the first of many.
Yes,
I would love
you.
To see your name all over the place.
Before you go, before do you, obviously you're
oh,
your
great
content
question.
Creator. If you were to say you, outside of work, which is of course your passion, what do you geek out about? Like the topic that would incite many a conversation with you if somebody were to bring it up.
A couple of things.
Okay.
One could be my desire and my past desires of being an avid athlete. I've done 13 marathons.
Wow.
I've done 5 triathlons.
I've thought about doing 13 marathons.
He thought about it for about 15 minutes and said, let somebody else do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've ridden my bike across country from Seattle, Washington to D.C. I've ridden from San Francisco to L.A. I've taught spinning classes, and it's more of an inspiration to others. I didn't know how to swim when I did my first triathlon. I was 40 years old.
Wow.
To tell my
so
age.
I still have a...
Yes, you have.
I don't know. I'm from India. I don't know how to swim. I can just say that right now. Like, a lot of people from India don't know how to swim.
You
but
can do
that's
it.
That's it.
You can
but
do
I
it.
I can still do it. All right.
Yes. Well, my other geek, I guess, passion is to spread love. Being in this business, I find that there's many people who go through things, and a lot of things that I do on set is to really just exude the love, and
that's
what I want to just pass on in every project that I do. I feel like I would like to make a positive impact on anything that I do. I want people to walk out feeling good about themselves.
That's amazing.
Well, Winnie, when I was talking to you over the craft services that Jayden and the rest of the folks from the Twin Cities Film Fest put together, you were talking about a number of your passion projects. And I thought that you shared something that I thought was wonderful, like so many of us do, where you have so many projects in the work, and then the day-to-day work, it becomes of import, so you have to put things and table them and get back to them later. So of the multitude of projects that you have working right now, is there one that you would like to get done first, or are they like children where you're like, I love them all equally?
Well, the one that I probably want to do first is dealing with the relationship that my dad and I have. My father is 96 years old, and my mom's deceased, and my father and I have become buddies. And the dynamic between someone 96 and the generation gap says a lot. We are a comedic team.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Some of the things that he's very sharp. He still drives. And it's interesting, the dynamic. People watch us, and they say you should write about it. So that's one of the things I'm working on right now.
So are you eventually going to have that be a book, a short film,
both.
A movie? Both. Okay.
Both. I'm writing his biography. But I also want to do it as a short film as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So where can we find you? If somebody wants to follow you on Instagram or social media or work upon discovering you for the first time, for the second time, for the third time, where can they go find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Win, W-I-N, Amor, A-M-O-R, Love, L-O-V-E.
Wonderful. And we will make sure that we put that on all of our BR Geek social media. So, Winnie,
yes.
We are very excited. We will look for your show. We will look for your directorial debut.
Thank you.
So you can always make sure that when you end up going and putting it on Instagram, that today is the day to make sure that it dropped. We'll make sure that we repost all of that for you.
I love that.
Thank you so much.
And you can do some swimming lessons for Jayden.
Yeah. Okay.
You got it? Thank you, Winnie.
Thank you so much.
Jayden, I'm glad that we are continuing this cavalcade of amazingly talented people that are here at your event. And I just want to tell this story briefly because we did talk about on our previous episode that we were not coming to L.A. alone. We weren't coming to Venice alone. We did bring our managing director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Bill Cooper, along with us. He is still here.
You know,
and
he's got enough wine in him. He's okay now.
And plus, he honestly did not get as upset with us as he did before. because we warned him that we were doing the podcast this time. So I think that all of his anxiety was taken care of. If not, we'll check in with him in a few minutes and see if he's okay.
I could care less, but yeah. I do care. I do care.
You got to, he's
hey,
the one staying in the house with
you. We're taking a picture real quick. Everybody on the podcast. This is what happens when you go live.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I do have a wonderful guest sitting right next to me, if
yes.
I may introduce him. So Roger is an accomplished filmmaker. Again, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year. And for a nonprofit, that is a huge milestone. For any business, that's a big milestone. And the reason why we are here today celebrating our 10 years is all about the content creators that have given us access to their amazing content. Roger gave us the opportunity to show his brilliant documentary back in 2010 called Nature of Existence. And it was such a great hit. Roger's from Minnesota. And Roger said, hey, I have another documentary that I would like to bring to the festival this year. And we're like, wait a second, 10-year anniversary? You want to bring something back? Yes, please.
Sorry, it took me that long to finish it. My apologies.
Roger, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell our listeners, again, we're going to talk about what you geek out about, but let's talk about you first. So where are you from? What do you do?
I'm a filmmaker now, and I always have been, actually since the age of 7.
Okay.
Grew up in Minnesota, as you might have guessed by now, on the north arm of Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, we're quite familiar.
I found my dad's camera when I was 7 years old, and I've been filming ever since. And I've never stopped.
What kind of camera was it, do you remember?
It was a Super 8, Bell & Howell, Super 8 camera.
Wow.
Very similar to the one that George Zapruder used to film the JFK assassination.
Wow.
Wow.
Roger, do you remember what the first film you made when you were 7 was about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I still have it, actually.
Maybe we can show that right before your
film. That would be fantastic. Let's do that, please. So what was it about?
I'll have to release that someday. I used to watch Carmen and Clancy.
Yes.
Which was in Minnesota, these children's shows in the morning, and they would show cartoons, and among the cartoons were these Gumby cartoons, which were animated.
And you remember that, yes.
Pixelation, animated.
Gumby and his horse, Pokey.
Right,
yes,
Pokey.
Yes,
Pokey.
Pokey,
yeah, exactly.
And so I was, and they're really weird if you've ever seen them.
Very much so.
They're bizarre and hallucinogenic and almost scary. I remember one time they like went into an oven and almost got baked.
It's a children's story.
Well, it made me want to emulate it, and so I animated. I had these Charlie Brown and Linus dolls, and I animated them through these adventures, climbing on the back of the couch and almost falling off, and that was my first film.
Oh, I would love to see that.
I want to see that film
yes.
so bad right now. It's awesome.
So did you have, like, little screenings at home of your films when you were a young Roger? Is that what you were doing?
Oh, I would conscript my brothers and sister and my neighbors to be in the film, and then I'd make everyone watch it, of course, when it was done.
That is fantastic. Did you make popcorn and you were like, here's this? And
not much has changed. I do the exact same thing now. I get
on
my friends
scale.
To help, and then we finish it and then screen it, and starting with film festivals.
So let me ask you, from a executive director to a filmmaker, why are film festivals so important to content creators, to independent filmmakers?
You have to get you need your product seen, right? And it's one avenue to get your film seen. Who do you want it seen by? Well, obviously you want distributors to see it, and they're out there scouting festivals to some degree, but also film agents, and you want to get reviews, and you're basically building a case that you're going to present to a distributor for why they should pick up your film.
Right.
And festivals are helpful in that way. Through getting reviews, and that's how I met my film agent, actually, who's now repping my film, was through screening at film festivals.
That's great. So I did mention earlier that your film Nature of Existence showed at our first festival ever in 2010. Let's talk about your current project, The Truth About Marriage. So talk about why that particular topic for you, and then let's talk about the film again. People can watch the film at our festival, but let's talk about that.
I get obsessed with an idea or a concept or a question, and then I set out to solve this impossible question. With The Nature of Existence, my question was, why do we exist? So I, as the filmmaker, the investigator, I go out and traveled around the world finding people to interrogate. I found representatives of every major belief system and made them explain to me what's the purpose of life. And then I intercut all their responses, and it's a comedy. My documentaries are funny. I find the humor in humanity.
Which we appreciate.
You got to laugh or you go insane.
Right.
the nature, the truth about marriage, my question is, why is marriage so hard for human beings?
Right.
Why do we have to work so hard at it to get it right? Mm-hmm. If I was selling you a product, like if I'm a car salesman, hey, I've got this great car, you're going to love it. And if you ask me, well, is it guaranteed? And if my response was, well, no, and 50% of them are going to fail within 4 years, and the other 50%, they're going to work, but it's going to take a lot of hard work on your part to keep them running, you'd
exactly.
say, that you better go back to the drawing board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That so is a broken, flawed car.
Right,
why do I want that?
That's right. A bad system to start with.
There's something wrong with our marriage institution. So I set out to investigate what is the problem and how do we what's the solution? How do we solve this? And in the film, I found the answers.
Okay. Well, I'm like very excited to be
so there. When people watch the film, what do you hope they take out of it? Just the consumers that are sitting in the audience.
Well, one thing I noticed in making this film is that nobody teaches you how to have a relationship in high school or college. You're just set out into the world to fail over and over and eventually figure it out through trial and error. It doesn't have to be that way. There are some very simple behaviors that if you had known this when you started out in your first relationship, it would have gone so much better. I've been through relationships which, like a trail of wrecked relationships behind me that didn't have to be so devastating.
Right.
If I knew some, which now I've learned some very basic things about human interaction. And so I hope that people will take that away from watching this film. Here's with some basic tools that you can take to your relationship, whether you've been married 10 years or 50 years, or you're single and still want to find that relationship.
Right. Well, Roger, you made the joke when we first started that you're apologizing for it taking 10 years to come up with another film. How long have you actually been working on this most recent project?
I started it when I finished the last film, so it was about a full-on an 8-year process, and mm-hmm. part of it was when I got invited to weddings, I brought my camera, and I would interview the couple at their wedding, and then I checked back 3 years or 5 years or 7 years later to see what happened.
Right.
And it was always a surprise. The ones you thought, oh, they'll make it for sure. Well,
didn't.
It wasn't quite maybe the way they expected. And the ones, oh, they'll never make it. And they're going great. It's hard to predict.
One of the things I always like talking to documentary filmmakers about is how do you distill hours and sometimes hundreds of hours of footage into a cohesive story?
Yeah, one little,
that editing process.
One baby step at a time.
Okay.
It's overwhelming if you sit down with a stack of footage. So I would just take little chunks, and I would cut this little nugget together until it kind of worked as a unit, a molecule of its own, put it on the shelf, and until I had a whole bunch of molecules, and then I could then take those and build
kind
something
bigger. Kind of
move
them around and kind of see which one flows the best with the other.
You got to break it down into smaller tasks until you've got a manageable task.
Right. Well, we always like to talk to people, and it sounds like you have been geeking out about filmmaking for so long. I'm almost afraid to ask, is there anything else that you geek out about, Roger? What else?
Oh, geeking out? Currently, what I'm geeking out about is, do you know what a VPN is?
I do know what a VPN is. I'm from the tech industry.
Private network.
Okay. Have you heard of the dark web?
Yes.
There is a thing, as you know, called the dark web.
Right.
And it's like going to a really bad part of town. And if you go there, you're going to get screwed. You're going to get stuck with a shiv if you're not careful.
Multiple times.
So you don't want to go there unless you're maybe with a cloak of invisibility and a VPN.
So VPN is a cloak of you. It's the Harry Potter cloak.
Okay.
For going on the internet. So no one knows where you're coming from, who you are. So it's much harder for them to...
It masks your IP address.
Right.
So you can't trace it exactly here. It's kind of pinged all over the world.
So the bad guys would have a much harder time getting you or hacking you.
You're
or
geeking
finding
out
you
out about VPNs?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a geek about VPNs.
Oh, I know we've never had a geek about that, so no.
How cool is that? So if anybody wants to follow you on social media, go to your website, please tell us how we can find you.
Start at my film, thetruthaboutmarriage.com. And you can learn about the film when it will be released, and you can find me that way. Also, my website is my name, rogernygaard.com. Minnesotans know how to spell Nygaard. I don't have to spell it for them. But for those who are, if you're not from Minnesota, Roger and Nygaard, NYGARD.com. And that's the center of the web to all of my nefarious doings.
But clearly they're not very dark because you just gave out the web address.
You just make sure the VPN is on. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, what a great party. You guys throw an amazing party.
We try our best. We'll see you in October.
Yeah, and I'm sure the festival will be just as great. It'll be like a 10-day party.
It is a 10-day party. Yeah, it's exhausting
blast,
to say the least. But yeah,
so
I think we have our next guest right there. Claire, come on down.
We're here because we actually brought our good friend Roxanne Battle along with us, along with Rick.
Roxanne was here,
and Roxanne was talking about that. Yeah, and Roxanne was on our previous episode. We were talking about her silver collection.
Did she bring any of her silver collection?
She did not, but we did have a conversation, she and I, this morning earlier at the hotel where we were discussing it. So as we come to the conclusion of this episode of Be Our Geek, it makes sense that we would wrap up because we all attempt to be really good at social media at Be Our Geek, and we fall short often. So, Jayton, thank you very much.
And it's not at the lack of not trying.
Oh,
it's
gosh,
not
no.
knowing.
The spirit is willing. The execution is weak. That's
execution
what it is.
Is weak because we don't know what the tools are. and or how and when to wield them, right?
So, we have cocktails and things happen. So,
when I have cocktails out, great things happen. I'm just saying.
Don't drink and social.
The whole festival came about when Mr. Cooper and I shared a bottle of wine, and then we went to a second and a third bottle. That's a second story for another day. I want to introduce Claire Blodgett.
That's okay.
Claire's actually from Minnesota. She actually made the trek to Venice. It was hard thing for her to do.
Yeah, twist my arm.
Just for this particular party.
I did.
And the reason that she's here is that I met Claire at a networking event in Minneapolis, and we got to talking. She got to learn about the organization. I got to learn about what she does. And to say that she's a social media genius and a guru is an understatement.
Oh.
She runs her own social media company. And as the festival, we're always looking to broaden our reach into the community, make sure the new consumers know about it, make sure that our existing followers are active with us, and how can they be incentivized to get their friends and families to join our collective. So Claire's officially joined our organization at the advisory board level. And when she said she was going to come out here, I'm like, you got to be on our Geek podcast,
because
you geek out about social media all the time.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the name of your company?
The name of my company is Clarity Marketing.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so how long have you been doing that, Claire?
I started my company about 4 years ago, and I started it slowly, very slowly at home. So I'm an entrepreneur, yes.
Well, welcome. We are kindred spirits. We appreciate that. So what was the impetus for you stepping out and going, I'm going to have my own company and I'm going to do this?
To have my own company, I always knew I wanted my own company, but I didn't know what to do. And then all the pieces kind of fell in place naturally. And I just kind of dug into it. I needed a consultant, actually, for another position that I was in, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a consultant that would just do social without signing on to like a $10,000 a month retainer, things like that, with a full agency. So I really saw there was a hole in the market, and I started doing some, you know, research and testing and experimenting, and then it became clear, you know, there's a need. So
when you are working through your social channels, I know that there are the staples and the pillars of social media, but there are also other ones that are popping up. When you're working with your clients, how do you go, here's what you should focus on. You should primarily do Insta, or you should be a Snapchatter. How do you help determine what's the best course for them?
So I think this is critical anytime you're trying to build a social media strategy. I go through a set of 20-plus questions with any potential client, and we talk about what is it that you do, why do you do what you do, what's your purpose, who's your audience, these things. You know, what's profitable for you, what's not, you know? And we really dig into it, and that's where you find all these little nuggets of this is your differentiator, because sometimes people don't always know.
Right.
You know, I work with small to large companies, so we go through this discovery process, and then from there, I take that information and say, well, you know, I think you should really be on LinkedIn. Or, hey, I think you should really be on Snapchat.
Do you have a favorite platform?
Right now, I love Instagram.
Why?
I mean, who doesn't?
Okay.
Who doesn't? But I'll say,
do you miss MySpace? That's what I want to know. Do you miss MySpace?
No.
Wait, Friendster.
I kind of miss. Do you miss Friendster?
I never even had MySpace.
You didn't?
No.
I loved MySpace.
MySpace was legit.
Jake was one of my top eight.
No, yeah.
yeah, you're in my bottom 12. No.
Oh, fire. I'm turning your mic off.
No. I love Instagram right now. It's so versatile, and it really is just such an inclusive space for everyone. And it's a more positive space right now. So it's kind of the place to hang out if you're looking for, you know, a more positive, happy online experience.
Glad to hear it put that way. So when you are not going through all of your social media guru-ness, is there anything else that you're a big geek about? What else really, what else are you like, your friends and your family are sick of you talking about?
Yeah. So a few years ago, I became a complete minimalist. So
how's that going?
Awesome.
Where you got rid of a whole bunch of stuff?
Oh, from like 4 years ago to now, I probably got rid of at least 75% of my stuff, 50% of my kids' stuff. My husband, you know, we're working on it.
But he's, it's a gradual.
He's coming on board.
He's working.
So
what about minimalism that attracted you towards that?
I just realized after I became a parent, really, that you're just, all you're doing is shuffling stuff around.
Yep.
It's like, I'm putting this away. I'm cleaning this thing. I'm doing this thing. I'm buying this consumable. Like, you're, if you really think about how much time in your day is spent with a thing and caring for the thing or paying for the thing or, you know, storing the thing, it just, I'm like, this is crazy.
Right.
And so I just started really looking into it, and I'm like, I don't need like 90% of the stuff.
What did you start with? Did you start with your kids' toys or your wardrobe?
No, I started with my clothes.
Fair enough. I feel like a lot of people do clothes. That. Did you do that 333, that 333 thing where you're like that many things? Or what
I did
was
not.
Your methodology?
So after I had my second child, my son, I was kind of like, you know, every time I would open my closet, I was feeling guilty because I wasn't wearing my old clothes that used to fit me. But not only that they fit me, because they were very expensive.
Right.
So I had a job where I had to be very dressed up. And so when you can't wear that 125 pair of, you know, trouser pants, you just open your closet and feel like shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm done. I got rid of everything that didn't fit, that I didn't wear. And I mean, I was down to like 20 pieces of clothing.
Wow.
And it didn't matter because that's all I was wearing anyway. And when I realized I could live without everything else that just wasn't making me feel good about myself, it was so much easier to say goodbye to it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I try to do that. If I buy something, I know in my mind when I'm actually making that purchase, I have to get rid of two of the same things in my closet.
Absolutely. And so
really,
it's made me so much more mindful about what I'm buying and how I'm buying it and what the quality of the whatever it is. You know, it's shopping is not a sport anymore.
Fair enough. It's not how you self-medicate anymore.
No,
either.
No.
I've moved on. I've watched the Minimalist documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
On numerous times. I find it
Marie
very
Kondo.
I am by no. There's actually a minimalism.
There's a documentary called Minimalism.
Called Minimalism
on Netflix.
About these two gentlemen that went on this minimalist project.
Okay, cool.
Call themselves the minimalists. You would love it.
It's empowering.
It very
yes.
soothing. It's very soothing. And I am by no means minimalist in nature, but it did make me more
conscious
about my and more intentional.
That's it.
In
Absolutely.
My process and make myself.
I think that's
with that
the key word is intentional. Being with every decision you make, every purchase you make,
that's
every word you say, just being conscious of it.
It's not just getting rid of stuff. It's how are we changing our behavior around things, and how does that behavior make a change overall?
And do things on you or you on the things at the end of the day. If somebody wants to find out about you, your profession, to get in contact with you about social media, want advice, how do they find you?
You can always email me, Claire at claritymarketing.com. C-L-A-R-E, no I, know.
Yeah, that's
C-L-A-R-E at C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y, marketing.com. And check out my website, Claire.
Do you have a social media?
I do. Yeah, it's all Clarity Marketing.
It's just all Clarity Marketing.
Like, I'm well branded, Jayden. Don't be silly.
Well, and because I spell my name a little differently, I'm the only Clarity Marketing spelled that way.
We have a Jayden and a Shannon with an A on the show.
There we go.
Very familiar
Okay, good.
That was
we're good.
That website was easily available, so that's all great.
Exactly.
Well, we appreciate you being part of Be Our Geek. We're going to make sure that we post all of your socials. We appreciate you being part all of the joy that is going to come from the Twin Cities Film Fest and our 10th anniversary.
And you'll see Claire at the festival, so come say hi.
Absolutely. Please do. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The party's still going. When are these people going to leave?
Keep going.
Never.
They're not going to leave for at least a couple more hours
because
you told them that on the invitation. I
did.
That's
the last call.
That's all you. But Jayden, so we are getting geared up for the 10th anniversary of the Twin Cities Film Fest. So you have all kinds of things. I wanted to remind you that since it is the 10th anniversary, we need to have some blue and silver involved into all of the decor because it's our 10th anniversary. But what else can people expect other than seeing like Roger Nygaard's film?
So a lot of great content. We're planning a couple of bigger parties. There's a little bit of a happening in our organization to do some sort of a street party during the festival as well. We're working on our gala, which is on September 5th, to bring, quote-unquote, a bigger name. Nothing locked in yet that I'm able to make an announcement on. We're working towards that. Our production services are doing really well. So a lot of our celebration internally is about growing into the next phase of who we're going to be. So all that information, when appropriate, we'll put on our website at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org.
Real quick. Bill.
Bill.
Come here.
Bill, come here. So we got Bill here who...
I just want to check in with him real quick because he's still smiling, and I just wanted to talk to him about things real quick. Bill, grab the microphone. Bill, are you less upset with Jayden and I because we warned you in advance that we were doing the podcast this time? Are you okay?
I am not upset at all. You guys can do whatever you want.
Bill looks at me and was like,
"Ever." But if there was a curtain to push or pull, I would be doing it. Because you're actually in, like, the
I'm
path.
Literally in the way of
you're
people
in
coming
path.
In. Yeah.
That's all right. Well, we like being an obstruction, and that is having a good time. But we were talking about all of the great – Jayden was just talking about all the great things that we have planned for the 10th anniversary of the Twin Cities Film Fest. And we just – I wanted to check in with you and just go, how excited are you that you guys have made it to this milestone, Bill?
Knowing that film festivals typically only last a couple years
–
considering the fact that I'm older and I haven't died during the process, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I just really think businesses thrive when you develop relationships. You stick to a plan. You crawl, run, walk. You learn from your mistakes. You don't take yourself seriously. You try to keep having fun, and.
We do
everything.
All that.
We do everything with good intentions. Yes. Is that too philosophical for the show?
No, not at all.
Do everything with good intentions because it'll all be great. It'll all be great. So we're happy.
We appreciate you. It's been great to know both of you over the last 10 years. I expect you to have at least 10 more. So, Bill, you can't roll up and die on us yet. So you are
my
in
heart,
this for the
my heart.
Don't scare
anybody
me.
Anybody know CPR? No, I'm
I do. I'm going to go learn right now.
All right. So I am actually CPR certified.
Nice.
So I got you, Bill. If
you
anything
got me.
Happens, I'll have
things.
So
right.
We always encourage people to be part of our community. You can find us if they go online. You can go to Be Our Geek. You can also email us at BeOurGeek@gmail.com or all of our social media is BeOurGeekMN. So we appreciate you being part of it. Jayden, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for inviting me out to Venice for part of this. And we remind everybody to join us next time because we appreciate all of you. And remember, be our geek because everyone is a geek about something.